Okay, so
Right, and we're
Dave, I'm going to have you go ahead and make the announcements.
Okay. Do we want to call the meeting to order?
Yes.
So Sandy, you need to do that.
I call the meeting to order. David, would you like to make the announcement?
And yes, I wrote it down this time because it's been choppy the last few. Due to the end of the emergency declaration in Pennsylvania, Derry Township has advertised and posted this meeting as a hybrid style meeting, giving the public the option of joining the meeting in person or attending through the use of Zoom. As has been the policy of the township during the COVID pandemic, the Zoom link for this meeting was posted in the advertisement and can be found on the website. Thank you.
Thank you. And as far as roll call, I see myself, Mike Angelo, and Dean Morgan. Is that good enough, or do you want a roll call, Dave?
Megan, that works for me if it works for you and works for Tracy.
Okay, yep. We're good to go then. And first I'll ask for approval of the minutes that were circulated.
I'm sorry, Sandy, I was muted. I think it would be good for the record to have the board members acknowledge that they're here.
Okay.
All right, I'll go through. Sandy Ballard.
Here.
Mike Angelo.
Here.
Dean Morgan.
Here.
Not present are Steve Seidel and Lindsay Drew.
Great, thank you, David. And our next order of business is approval of minutes. Mike or Dean, well, Mike, you had to leave a little bit early. So I guess Dean, were you there?
Yeah, I'd move to approve the minutes.
Okay, and I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And that's sufficient, so.
Okay. And Mike just had to leave because his son was in a huge championship because he's a super duper sports star. And Mike called in above and beyond the call of duty. So lest anyone think he was doing anything less than super service to the community. So now we're going to have our old business, which is the adoption and the decision of the case of Brian and Patricia Parr. And do I have a motion?
I move to accept that.
And I actually will second that. And I'm just going to read the decision that the applicants request for variance from section 225-303 table 5 regarding the side yard setback for accessory uses granted. The applicants may encroach to within 18 feet of the side property line for the proposed shed. The applicants request for a variance of section 225-303 table 5 regarding the rear yard setback for an accessory use is granted. The applicant may encroach within 26 feet of the rear property line. The applicant's request for a variance from 225-303 table 5 item H regarding maximum height of the structure is granted in part and denied in part. The applicants may construct the proposed shed to a maximum of 24 feet. And the applicant shall construct the improvements in compliance with the plan specifications submitted to the board. However, if the improvements that are the subject of this hearing as finally constructed require less relief than granted by the board, no additional relief is needed, except as provided by applicable law. The relief granted herein should be valid for 1 year from the date hereof. In the event the applicants have not, within the time period provided, commenced operations, applied for a building permit relative to the improvements where permits are necessary, or constructed the improvements, not requiring permits, the relief then granted herein shall be deemed to have expired, and the applicant shall be required to comply with the existing terms of the ordinance. Any violations of the conditions imposed shall be a violation of the township zoning ordinance and enforced as a provided in the ordinance. And so I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Anyone abstaining?
Yeah, I'm abstaining.
Thanks,
Mike. Mike.
Okay, so I think it's two in favor, if I'm counting correctly. And then our next item of business is new business, hearing in the case of...
Sandy, yes, sorry to interrupt. If you could have a motion, I guess as you as vice chair to sign the decision.
Yeah, David, can you make that? Can you tell us what we need to...
If one of the board members would make a motion for the vice chair, Sandy Ballard, to be able to sign the decision on behalf of the board, and we could get that seconded and approved.
And just to be clear, that's because we all are not all here in person, and it will expedite the issuance. And do I have a motion? It can come from any board member.
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
And all in any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none, it passes, I think. And so I will sign it on behalf of the board. Now, I think we'll go on to the hearing in the case of Selco Partnership doing business as Verizon Wireless. And one thing I know I have to do is sign folks up who are going to be testifying. So if I may, if there are people here in the Zoom call who are going to be testifying, can we do this all at once, Megan?
Yes, as long as we have each person say that they agree that they're going to be telling the truth.
Right, okay. Why don't we go, whoever's going to be testifying, you can, raise your right hand. And do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the whole truth with no exceptions?
I do.
And if we could have you state your name so it's clear for the record.
My name's Matthew Bertner.
My name's Eric Brinzer.
Okay. Anyone else testifying? No. And can whoever's going to be speaking first, make sure you begin by saying your name and address. And Tracy, do you need anything spelled or anything? Okay. Thank you. So with that, I'll turn it over. Mr. Strong, are you representing the petitioners?
Yes.
Okay. I'll
yes,
turn it
thank
over
you.
To you.
Good evening. Jamie Strong with McNeese Wallace and Nurek. 100 Pine Street, Harrisburg. I am the attorney for Verizon Wireless. And the two witnesses that you just were introduced to, they'll be providing testimony tonight, are Matt Bertner, who is a site acquisition consultant with Network Building and Consulting, and Eric Brinzer, who is with Ritu Associates. The proposed facility that's before you tonight is a unique solution to a network need that Verizon Wireless has in the Derry Township area. The proposal is to install and operate a building-mounted communications antenna facility, which will also include ground-mounted communications ancillary equipment that will be located on the ground adjacent to the existing building. On the Fishburne United Methodist Church property located at 1215 Fishburne Road. And here Dave's pulled up a Google Earth image of the existing church building. And so the building fronts on Fishburne Road and also on Robin Road. The proposed site itself is intended to provide additional capacity for Verizon Wireless's network, So there is existing Verizon wireless coverage in the area, but the site is needed to provide additional capacity for the network so that it can handle all of the subscribers accessing the Verizon wireless network in the area that are currently being served by other sites providing service in that area of the township. The what's before you is the zoning plan that was submitted with the application, in which we've also marked as applicant's exhibit A2 for purposes of the hearing tonight. And the proposed facility itself includes the installation of communications antennas that will be concealed within a proposed radio frequency friendly cupola that will be installed on top of the existing church steeple. And so you can see on the building elevation view, the building that we just saw on the Google Earth street view. And what is proposed is to install the concealment cupola on top of the existing church steeple. That cupola will be designed and constructed to enclose and conceal the antennas. And it will include features, materials, and colors matching those of the existing church steeple and building. So the idea is this cupola will conceal the antennas located inside of it, but because of the material that it is constructed from, the radio frequency signals can travel through that material to and from the antennas. So it is a unique solution to address a network need, but where you really won't see any part of the facility itself after construction. In addition to the cupola and the antennas, those antennas are connected to equipment that's located on the ground by cables. Those cables will pass down through the steeple and then will come out to the exterior of the building, and they'll be covered by a cover that's mounted to the building itself and painted to match the building. And then on the ground, Verizon is proposing to install communications equipment cabinets on a concrete slab located next to the existing building. And Dave, if we could slide down to the site plan portion of that exhibit.
Is this the site plan perfect that you wanted to be shown?
Yes, perfect.
Or
so here, this is a top
overall down. Okay.
Yeah, so the site plan is a top-down view of the existing building. You can see the location of the steeple and then the concealment structure that will be located on top of the steeple. But then on the ground to the southeast of the building itself will be a fenced equipment area. And inside that fence will be located the equipment cabinets. They'll be on the ground on a concrete slab. And then the cabinets will be enclosed by an 8-foot tall white solid vinyl fence. And then on the outside of that fence will be evergreen screening plantings that will be installed around the fence itself. The property itself is located in the township's Hershey Mixed Use District, and communications antennas attached to an existing building are permitted by right in the HMU district. So although approval of the use is not required, a setback variance is required to permit the location of the proposed equipment that will be located on the ground adjacent to the church building. So turning to that variance request, Section 225-420 point C, point 6, point B, point I, and I apologize for going slow, but I think the court reporter will appreciate that. That section of the zoning ordinance requires ground-mounted communications ancillary equipment and structures to comply with the yard setback requirements of the underlying zoning district. So here, the HMU district. And for the HMU district, Section 225-315, Table 29, requires accessory structures to be set back at least 50 feet from the front lot line. So here, this lot fronts on both Fishburne Road and Robin Road. And so a 50-foot setback is required from both of those roads. Verizon Wireless has requested the dimensional variance from those two sections of the zoning ordinance so as to permit the proposed ground-mounted communications ancillary equipment to be located a distance less than 50 feet from Fishburne Road. And you can see on the exhibit, the distance that the equipment will be located from Fishburne Road is 25.3 feet. So that's the variance request. We'll get into the testimony, but one of the things to note is that the existing building is located closer to Fishburne Road than the proposed ground-mounted communications equipment will be located. There's also a sign out at the sidewalk just to the south of the proposed fenced area that is located closer to Fishburne Road. So there are improvements existing on the property located closer to Fishburne Road, and the proposed equipment will be set back farther from Fishburne Road than those existing improvements. And you may have seen from the Google Earth Street View how those existing improvements are located closer to Fishburne Road than the proposed ground-mounted equipment will be. The equipment itself that will be located on the ground, that's an underutilized portion of the property. So what we're looking at is a unique solution, both in terms of the antennas and how they'll be located and concealed, but also a unique solution for the ground-mounted equipment as well. It will be located behind the front walls of the building in an area on the church property that really isn't utilized. That will allow the facility to minimize any visual impacts on the surrounding area and minimize any impacts on, you know, the church and on-site operations for the church as well. In addition to the setback variance, Verizon is requesting an extension of the time period for securing permits in the event the variance request is granted, and requesting that that time period be extended from 1 year to 2 years. Section 225-1007.9.C of the zoning ordinance requires applicants to secure a zoning or building permit within 1 year of the date of authorization of a variance. And that section also permits the Zoning Hearing Board to extend the time period for a variance. So we're requesting an extension of that time period from 1 year to 2 years. I don't believe any of the current board members were on the board in 2017, but in late 2016, Verizon Wireless proposed a communications antenna facility on this property that was virtually identical to the antenna facility proposed by this application. In late 2016, a zoning application was submitted requesting the same dimensional variance that is being requested by this application. That application requested a setback variance from the 50-foot setback requirement from Fishburne Road to permit the proposed equipment to be located less than 50 feet from Fishburne Road, and also requested an extension of that time period to obtain permits from 1 year to 2 years. The Zoning Hearing Board approved that application and granted the requested relief in a written decision dated February 15, 2017. Apologize for all those rectangles. I'm not sure why those showed up on the exhibit. But you can see, again, from Exhibit A3 is the exhibit that was submitted with the application in 2016 and approved by the Zoning Hearing Board in 2017. And we'll get into the changes that have occurred both to the zoning ordinance and to the zoning plan as we proceed with the presentation tonight. I should note that this is a very unique site. And as such, it is also an expensive site to build. There was prior testimony that the site would be 3 to 4 times more expensive to build than a typical antenna facility site. And given the cost of the site and the fact that it is a capacity site rather than a coverage site, Verizon Wireless did not secure the necessary permits within that 2-year timeframe from the date of the original zoning approval. And that approval was set to expire on February 15th of 2019. Verizon Wireless did request an additional 1-year extension to that approval, which the Zoning Hearing Board granted in a written decision dated January 16th of 2019. Ultimately, you know, for the same reasons that we've discussed already, Verizon Wireless did not secure the necessary permits by February 15th of last year. Therefore, the approval of the original 2016 application expired in February of last year. So that's why we're back in front of you, because that original approval expired, but we're back in front of you with what is essentially the same application that was approved in 2017. Now, since that original application was approved, the township did adopt the current zoning ordinance, which repealed and superseded the prior zoning ordinance. The prior application was filed under the prior zoning ordinance. But for purposes of this application, the major differences between the prior zoning ordinance and the current zoning ordinance really are limited to the name of the zoning district that this property is located in. It was previously Village Residential, now it's Hershey Mixed Use, and the section numbers for the sections that were requesting relief. The substantive requirements with respect to the setback requirement and for communications antenna facilities have not changed. They've simply been renumbered. With respect to the facility itself, the original application proposed the installation of equipment cabinets and utility structures on an elevated equipment platform inside the fence. And you can see that on the site plan that's in front of you. Again, this is the original approved zoning plan that we've marked as an exhibit tonight, exhibit A3. And you can see within the fenced area, there's that equipment platform that was going to be elevated off the ground. And then all of the equipment, utility structures, et cetera, would be located on that equipment platform. The current application has done away with that elevated equipment platform, and the improvements inside the fence will sit on the ground now. The location of the fence itself has not changed from the original approved application to the application that's in front of you tonight. So that really is an overview of what is proposed. And if there are no questions for me, we'll proceed with testimony, but certainly happy to answer any questions before we proceed with testimony.
Hey, Jamie.
Yes.
How far is the ground-mounted equipment from Robin Road?
I think it's 80. If we go up to the exhibit A2,
it's I need my bifocals for that, but
yeah.
85.
That's 85. Okay.
85.8.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. I got
so we're well in excess of 50 from Robin Road. It's just Fishburne Road that that's the concern.
Right. Thanks, Mike, for your question. I just want to, this 44 feet noted here is referring to the center line, but the 85 is referring to the Robin Road. I just want to make sure our numbers are, but the number to Fishburne is actually 26. Is that correct?
25.3, I believe.
Oh, right. 25.3. I apologize. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt, Mike. Did you have other questions?
No. Yeah. Just a quick thing. I saw on one of these drawings that there's a note about a proposed parking space. Is that something that you're going to address, or is that something that needs to be addressed?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's, Dave, maybe if you scroll a little bit to the right on that site plan there, I think that picks up. Oh, I guess it's on the overall site plan. I'm sorry.
Yeah. The left.
Yeah, so
if it's all in compliance, that's fine. I just didn't know if there was any relief or anything will be needed for that.
Yeah, and so that currently is a paved entrance and parking area for the church. And so the idea is, you know, this site will be, you know, a technician will go out once, maybe twice a month, just for periodic inspection and maintenance. So they drive an SUV. So the idea would be they'd pull in, park on that, you know, paved area, and then walk in on the sidewalk to the facility. So it's going to be an unmarked spot, but, you know, under the lease, it's provided and available to them to park.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Mike, do you have any other questions?
No.
How about Dean? Do you have questions, Dean? At this point? A little early. If I don't hear any questions from Dean, I'll ask you to go ahead and continue with your testimony.
Okay, thank you. I'd ask Matt Bertner to unmute, and he'll be our first witness. And Dave, while we're doing that, maybe scroll up to Exhibit A1, and then we'll go through them in sequence during Matt's testimony. Perfect. Matt, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, great. If you could just go ahead and introduce yourself to everyone, please.
Yes, my name's Matthew Bertner. I do site acquisition work for a company called Network Building and Consulting, and that involves leasing and other various paperwork that needs to be done before projects like this go to construction. And I live at 807 Stratford Drive in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And I've been doing this type of work for about 21 years.
And is your company retained by Verizon Wireless to locate telecommunications sites for them?
Yes, we are.
And did your company previously locate this property as a possible site for an antenna facility for Verizon Wireless?
Yes, we did.
And do you know the name of the property owner?
Yes, it's Fishburne United Methodist Church.
And we have on the screen what's been marked as applicant's Exhibit A1. Is that an authorization letter from the owner of the property authorizing Verizon Wireless to file this application and any other applications that might be necessary for approval of the proposed facility?
Yes, it is.
If we could scroll down, Dave, to Exhibit A2. And Matt, we have before us what's been marked as applicant's Exhibit A2, which is a copy of the zoning plan that was submitted with the application. Could you just describe generally the property and then what Verizon Wireless plans to do on the property as depicted on the zoning plan?
Yes, we've already had a pretty good look at the property, but it's almost 6 acres. There's a church building on the property, a parking lot, a graveyard, rows of trees along the northern boundary, pine trees, and some other open space. What we're looking to do, as it's depicted here, is actually put the extend the cupola on top of the, I guess you might call steeple, to flat top steeple, with RF friendly materials, and place the antennas up there. And then the cables will run in a stealth enclosure that matches the building in between the antennas and the equipment that's proposed on the ground. And that equipment on the ground will be completely enclosed in a white vinyl fence. So you won't be able to see the equipment. You'll just see the fence as long as the gate's shut.
And evergreen plantings be planted around the exterior of that fence as depicted on the zoning plan?
Yes, in addition to the fence, it'll further be screened by the arborvitaes or whichever type of plant has been chosen.
And there was a question regarding the parking space that was depicted on the zoning plan. Is access to the facility proposed via both a 20-foot wide access easement and then a 5-foot wide access easement from the existing parking lot to the facility to allow Verizon Wireless technicians to enter the property, park, and then walk over to the facility for any required maintenance, et cetera?
That's correct.
I mentioned that the property is located in the Hershey Mixed Use Zoning District. Are communications antennas mounted to existing buildings permitted by right in the HMU district?
Yes, it's a permitted use.
And I also mentioned that this is a unique solution to a network need that Verizon Wireless has. And in terms of it being unique, will this proposed cupola concealment structure mounted to the top of the existing building, together with the proposed solid fencing, the existing vegetation, the proposed screening, will all of that come together to minimize, if not eliminate, any visual impact that the facility might have on this property or surrounding properties?
Yes, very much so. It's everything will be completely shielded or enclosed. And I think for the most part, most people won't even realize it's there.
The anticipated maintenance needs for this site, we mentioned a service technician arriving in an SUV and parking and walking over. How frequently would that type of visit occur on a regular basis, a non-emergency basis?
Once a month at the most.
And this is an unmanned facility?
Yes, unmanned.
Okay. I mentioned in my introductory comments that section 225-1007.9.C of the zoning ordinance requires that an applicant secure a zoning or building permit within 1 year from the date the zoning hearing board approves a variance. The application requests an extension of the time period to secure a zoning or building permit from 1 year to 2 years. Could you explain why that request has been included in the application?
Yes, it largely has to do with funding and also in a lot of cases, additional approvals and regulatory things that need to be done before sites like this can be built. For this one though, I think it's funding would probably be a primary consideration. They need this site, and it's been sort of in their pipeline for several years now, and my experience is they get around to building them, and they will, but they have to line up the funding and dot all the I's and cross all the other T's with the various approvals that are needed. So the extra time is very helpful with that, or else we'd be coming back to try to get reapprovals every year on, some sites that take several years to get everything together.
So since Verizon made the decision to reapply for the approval, the expectation or hope is that the site will be built on the sooner rather than later, but just to be safe, the additional year was requested to minimize the number of times we have to come back.
Yeah, that's correct. And this one has been delayed already. And they initiate these problems when they see a coverage problem, usually several years down the road. They see the usage going up, and it's headed towards a point of exhaustion. And they know this a couple, 3 years in advance. And I think they've used up all the time. The coverage problems are upon them at this point. So I'm pretty hopeful this will get the money and get the priority to get built very soon.
And we've talked about the prior approvals, and we have Exhibit A3. Dave, maybe we could scroll down to that. And Matt, does Exhibit A3, is that the zoning plan that was approved with the 2016 application when the Zoning Hearing Board approved the setback variance in 2017?
Yes, I believe this is the plan. It shows the platform, right?
Right.
Yeah, so yes, this is that plan.
And I mentioned the very minimal changes to the plan or to the proposed facility. Are there any other changes to the facility that you're aware of other than the elimination of the raised equipment platform?
Nothing that's visible. There's the antenna models are different. They're newer. You know, the technology changes pretty regularly, but that's not visible. That will strictly be behind the screening. But yes, the antennas are different.
And the application that was approved in 2017, that requested both the same dimensional variance that's requested in this application, as well as the 1 year time extension to secure permits.
That's correct.
And Dave, if we could scroll down, we have marked as Exhibit A4 a copy of the Zoning Hearing Board's 2017 written decision in case number 2016-35. Is that a copy of the Zoning Hearing Board's decision approving that original application?
Yes, it is.
And there were conditions of approval in that 2017 decision. Are those conditions of approval still acceptable to Verizon Wireless?
Yes, they are.
And I mentioned that Verizon Wireless had to apply for a 1 year extension of the time period. And we have marked as applicants Exhibit A5, a copy of the written decision from 2019 approving that 1 year time extension, is that correct?
Yes.
And that original approval with the 1 year extension expired in February of last year, since the permits were not secured prior to February 15th, 2020, is that correct?
That's correct.
And I mentioned in my introductory comments that since the original application was approved, the township adopted the current zoning ordinance that repealed and superseded the prior zoning ordinance that was in effect when the 2017 decision was entered. But for purposes of this application, the major differences between the old zoning ordinance and the current zoning ordinance are limited to the name of the zoning district that the property is located in, and the numbering of the sections, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, those are all the questions I have for Mr. Bertner. Should we proceed with Mr. Brinzer, or are there any questions for Mr. Bertner?
I'm good.
Yes, you're good. Sorry, you're good. Okay. I apologize. I was muted, but yes, thank you.
No problem. Mr. Brinzer, are you there?
Yes, I am.
If you could go ahead and introduce yourself to everyone, please.
Sure. My name is Donald Eric Brinzer. I go by my middle name. I'm a registered landscape architect in the state of Pennsylvania. I work for Ritu Associates with an address of 5031 Richard Lane, Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. And I've been a landscape architect in the business for 27 years. So I've testified before many, many boards such as this over those years on a lot of telecommunications towers, to be specific. So a lot of experience in this realm.
And did Ritu prepare the zoning plan that was submitted with the application and that's been marked tonight as applicants Exhibit A2?
We did.
Now, I've given an overview of the property and the proposed improvements, and Matt Burton has also walked us through them. If you could, if there's any additional details or information to add regarding the improvements, if you could walk us through those, but without retreading too much over
sure.
What we've already covered.
Yes, and if you could zoom into the building elevation, I think I'll start there just to give a couple additional details. In the center there, yep. Perfect. Okay, so this is an elevation view of the church. It is from the looking from the southeast, so you can see the proposed cupola on top of the existing steeple, and at the base there you can see the equipment and fencing area. So I'm just going to touch on a couple details here. Looking to the left, looking at the actual existing steeple, the existing steeple is at an elevation of 52 feet above ground. The center line of the proposed antennas we have identified at 60 feet. The top of those antennas are 64 feet, and the top of the cupola is 66 foot 6 inches. So the overall height of that cupola above the existing top of the church steeple is 14 foot 6 inches. So just to give you a little clarity on what this is going to look like, how high it is above the existing structure. So again, this is a concealment structure with the antennas located inside of there. That gives you a nice graphic representation of what that would look like. If you go down a little bit on that same elevation, please. I guess you can kind of see, I want to get a little of the text there too. Thank you. As you go down the side, the right side of the existing steeple, there is where the proposed antennas, I'm sorry, the cables going to the antennas will be running along the side of the building. And again, as mentioned earlier, it will be concealed within a shroud that would be painted to match the building. So it would be concealed, and that would go down to the ground level where you will have our proposed equipment, which is the gray hatched structures. And then there is an 8 foot high white vinyl fence that would completely obscure the vision of the equipment within. So just to give you a little graphic representation of what that would look like from the side view. And then if you want to go down to the bottom right on the sheet, we'll look at the site plan, enlarged site plan. Okay, great. Thank you. And without repeating too much of the information that was mentioned earlier, you can actually see on the church steeple, you can see the antennas kind of looking down from the top, that there are 6 antennas within the proposed cupola. And again, it shows that they are all inside of that structure. Just to the right of that is our fenced in area. You can see the grayed out equipment that is now ground mounted on a 9.5 by 11.5 concrete pad, is no longer elevated as was mentioned earlier. And then there's a long lineal structure that runs parallel to the building. That is an ice bridge, which then carries the cables from the structures over to the building. And all of those items there on the ground will be below that 8 foot high vinyl fence, just to give you, I should have referred to that on the elevation view, but all of those items will be below that 8 foot high threshold for the fence, so they will not be visible. You can then see, as was mentioned earlier, the evergreen screening, which is gonna go around the ground structures. And then there's an access easement which follows the existing walkway out to the parking space. There's also one tree, you can see a proposed tree on the right side that is an existing tree that's going to be relocated. So we're not removing that existing tree. The final item I'll point to on this exhibit for now is to the north east of the steeple, you'll see a hatched area and a new walkway. So what we're proposing there, yes, thank you, is to remove some, there's a lot of paving on this site. So we're proposing to remove some existing paving and repave that existing sidewalk to that stairs and that entrance. So that is going to eliminate paving to offset the proposed concrete pad. So it'll eliminate that stormwater aspect of new impervious coverage. So we are doing some things to improve the aesthetics in some areas, and then we're hiding the proposed improvements as well. I think that covers many of the items that a little bit more detail than we covered before.
Okay, thank you. In terms of this property, it's a corner lot because it has a frontage on both Robin Road and on Fishburne Road, correct?
That's correct.
And the zoning ordinance requires that a corner lot must have 2 front yard setbacks, 1 along each road frontage.
That's right.
And I mentioned that section 225-420 point C, point 6, point B, point I of the zoning ordinance requires that ground-mounted communications equipment and structures must comply with the yard setback requirements for the underlying zoning district, which here is the HMU district. And the front yard setback is 50 feet in the HMU district. We touched on this earlier, but what are the distances from both Robin Road and Fishburne Road to the proposed ground-mounted equipment?
Sure, and I'll start over on that center overall graphic. As we touched on this before, so you can see there without zooming in, there's 85.8 feet from the structure over to the Robin Road right-of-way. So we meet the criteria on that side. Where we're shy is on the Fishburne Road side. It is 44 feet to the center line, but to the right of way, if you could just scroll back over. The distance is 25.3 feet to the closest structure, which is the ice bridge.
And so the requested variance is to permit the ground-mounted communications equipment to be 25.3 feet from the nearest road right-of-way rather than the required 50-foot distance?
That's correct.
And we talked about the location of the existing church building itself relative to the right-of-way line for Fishburn Road. Approximately how close is the church building to the right-of-way line for Fishburn?
It's about 14 to 14 and a half feet from Fishburn. And then as we spoke earlier, the church is roughly in the 40-foot range from Robin Road. So we're further back from each of the distances the building is from the existing right-of-way.
Okay. And the equipment then is set back farther from Fishburn Road than the existing building, and also farther from Robin Road than the existing building. Is that?
That's correct.
Okay. And is there also a sign that would be located, an existing sign that would be located closer to Fishburn Road than the equipment? And is that sign depicted on the site plan?
Yes, it is. There's an it is located just to the southeast of the corner of the proposed fence. You can see a long rectangular structure
right where the little
right where your hand is on the screen.
Hand is.
Yep.
So the equipment will be set back farther from both roads than the building, and is that also an underutilized portion of the already developed property where this will be located?
Yes, it is.
And I mentioned that the prior zoning application requested the same dimensional variance that we're requesting tonight, but I also mentioned that the distance from the ground-mounted equipment to the right-of-way for Fishburn Road is slightly different. If you could just explain for us the difference in that distance.
Sure. So if you could look at the prior plan that you have on the screen and zoom into the platform itself, I can just explain it a little better. Great. Thank you. So this is the prior application that shows the elevated equipment shelter. And you can see it had a structure. There was no ice bridge. The cables went right from that structure. It was close enough to the building. It could get over there without any structure. So the prior distance was 27.5 feet to that exit, that proposed structure. So if we go back to our proposed conditions now, if you could go back to the prior sheet, please. And zoom in similar to a similar location, that would be great. Okay. So without that platform, we now need the ice bridge, which is just an elevated tray that carries the cables from the equipment over to the building. That now becomes our closest structure. So now the distance shrinks down to 25.3 feet over to that ice bridge, to the edge of the ice bridge. The other equipment and the concrete pad is at a similar distance as the prior platform was, but now that ice bridge extends a little closer to the right of way.
And I guess, you know, the important question, at least in my mind, is has the distance from the right of way for Fishburn Road to the proposed fence changed from what was proposed and approved in the prior application to what is proposed with this application?
No, it has not.
Okay, so the fence is in the exact same location. It's just the equipment inside the fence that has shifted slightly from the prior application to this one.
That's correct.
In your opinion, does the location of the proposed equipment, the installation of the solid fencing, the preservation of existing vegetation, and also the installation of screening plantings minimize any visual impacts on this property or any of the surrounding properties? And again, in your opinion?
No, I don't think there would be any issues. It's in a, it's in an ideal location, tucked back in the corner of this nook of the church.
Okay. And last question, in your opinion, does the application comply with the applicable general standards for all variances contained in section 225-1007.9.A of the zoning ordinance?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. Those are all the questions for Mr. Brinzer.
Do you have anyone else providing testimony tonight?
We do not. Okay. If there are no questions for Mr. Brinzer, I would simply request that our exhibits A1 through A5 be admitted into and made a part of the record, and request that the Zoning Hearing Board grant the requested dimensional variance and time extension. Hopefully you can see that what was approved in 2017 is essentially being requested again in this application. We think it's a great solution to a need that Verizon Wireless has in the area. There aren't too many opportunities where you can build a communications antenna facility that no one will even know is there. So again, due to the passage of time, we did have to file this as a new application. But as I think you've seen through the testimony and exhibits, it really is essentially the same facility that was proposed and approved previously. I would note one of the conditions of approval in the original decision was that none of the proposed improvements or equipment within the fenced area could extend above the height of the fence. And so, the one major change to the facility that's proposed from what was approved is the elimination of that elevated equipment platform, which will even go farther to ensure that the equipment will not extend above the height of the fence. So in terms of that condition and the change to the zoning plan that's proposed, those dovetail together very well. And as Matt testified, the other conditions of approval from the original application are all still acceptable. We're happy to provide a redacted copy of the lease. The removal requirement is acceptable. Certainly provide the structural drawings and other information requested by the township as part of the permit application process to confirm that the existing steeple can carry the load of this additional cupola and antenna. So with that, I'll stop and be happy to answer any questions that the board members might have.
Thank you. And can you please pull up the site plan, David? And then can you address how many different locations did you consider for the on-site, not the steeple part, but the site, the part that's on the ground? Were there any other locations you considered, and tell us about those options?
Yeah, the overall site plan is probably the best. Dave, sorry, I know you started zooming in on the site plan. The initial location that we looked at for the equipment was on the northwest side of the building. So if you were to pick up that fenced compound, lift it over the building and put it down on the other side, over where it says 315 square feet, that was the original proposed location. The issue that we ran into was the proximity of the proposed fence and ground-based equipment to the cemetery. There are cemetery setback restrictions that impacted our ability to put the equipment on that other side of the building. And so when the site acquisition consultant went back and talked further to the church, it seemed to make sense to put it sort of in this nook part of the building, which really isn't being used for anything else. It could be fenced so that there wouldn't be, any visibility. And it worked from an operations perspective in terms of connecting the ground-based equipment by cables to the antennas at the top. So that was the other location that was considered, but because of its proximity to the cemetery, it didn't work. And that
Thank
resulted
you.
In us moving to the other side.
And what about moving it over to the right a little bit?
To the right meaning farther into the property?
Yes.
Matt, I don't know if I don't know if you know any of the specifics of that discussion. I do know that, you know, the intent is to keep where those cables sort of leave the equipment and go start going up the steeple, to have the fence include that point where they go up. I think that was part of the consideration. I don't know if the church had any other reasons for wanting it where it is versus pulling it back closer to the, or more to the east.
Yes, that's what I meant by the right. There seems to be some space to the, what looks like the right on the chart. And thank you for answering that question. And Mr. Strong, can you or one of your witnesses please go through the nature of the hardship and the five criteria for approving a variance?
Yeah, let me.
And then I'll turn it over to my colleagues for other questions from the board.
Just pulling up the original decision, since, you know, in that decision, the zoning hearing board identified each of the following findings, or each of the variance criteria, where, you know, that are applicable, where relevant. And the zoning hearing board stated, this is page five of that. It starts on page four, and then on page five, it says the board finds that the applicant has satisfied the ordinance's requirements necessary for the issuance of the requested variances. And I think what the board looked at, and it's noted in that first paragraph under item five, is that in terms of addressing network objectives, it's always preferable where you can to co-locate antennas or install antennas on existing structures, as opposed to, you know, building a new tower to support those antennas. And so the board found, and this was what I would offer, is that the property is unique because it affords us the opportunity to propose an antenna facility on an existing building that will be completely concealed from view, without requiring construction of a tower to support those antennas. And I think by its nature, because all of the improvements will be concealed, there's not going to be any effect on surrounding properties. The variance, if granted, would not alter the essential character of the neighborhood, which I think is important. And also, you know, by that same reasoning, there wouldn't be any impact or negative effect on the use or development of adjacent properties or properties that are in the neighborhood, and certainly wouldn't be detrimental to the public welfare. And the last criteria, the minimum variance that will afford relief, in our opinion, you know, that's where it needs to go. Again, the location of the fence itself isn't changing. It's just the location of the equipment within the fence. There's even a question as to whether or not that cable tray is ground mounted ancillary communications equipment. But in talking about that with Chuck, it made sense to him and it made sense to me. Let's just go with the piece of equipment that's closest to the Fishburn Road right of way and measure our distance to that so that there's no question. So again, we think that's the minimum variance that would afford the relief necessary in order to build this site.
And I may have missed it. What is the nature of the hardship?
Two factors. One is the need for additional capacity in this area. And that's dictated by where the existing Verizon Wireless antenna facilities are located in the township and the need to provide additional capacity to the network. And, you know, to give a little bit of background on that, it used to be when these sites were first developed that people were using their phones to make phone calls. than maybe to send texts. Now the nature has changed dramatically with the smartphones. People are streaming, they're using their devices for directions, you know, Google Maps or, you know, whatever. So there's more data being transferred on the network, and actually, you know, someone talking to someone is a very small portion of the network usage. So in order to provide additional capacity, you have to locate a site that can offload subscribers from the other existing sites. And that really dictates where the site must be located. So from a network perspective, this property is unique because it affords them an opportunity to address that need. And then I think, as the Zoning Hearing Board found in the prior decision, this property is also unique because it has a building that can facilitate and support an antenna facility that can be concealed from view and eliminate the need for construction of a new tower. So it's both a network perspective and the property itself that are unique.
And so just so I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying the nature of the hardship has to do with the Verizon service?
Correct. Well, there's two parts to it. One is the existing network and the needs of that network. And so locating a communications antenna facility at this location will address the capacity issues that the network has. And those capacity issues are driven by Verizon Wireless subscribers and their demands on the network for, you know, data usage. So that takes us to this property. And then, as the Zoning Hearing Board found in 2017, this property is unique because it affords the opportunity to address those very specific network objectives with a site that will be fully concealed. So okay. It's the network that gets us to the property, and then it's the property itself that's unique in terms of being able to address that need.
Thank you. And I don't want to take too much time for the questions. What about Mike and Dean? Do you have questions?
No, I'm good.
I have no questions.
Okay. Are there any members of the public here? David? You're muted. Oh, sorry. Thank you.
There are no members of the public this evening, and there are no members of the public in person either.
Okay, and any other comments or questions from board members? If we don't hear any, I believe, David, that we have 45 days to render a decision.
Sandy, you have 45 days to render a decision, and if they're aggrieved, they have 30 days to appeal.
And they have 30 days to appeal. Thank you, Megan. And I appreciate your help as I'm sitting in as chair tonight. And do we have any other business coming before the Zoning Hearing Board tonight? Hearing none, we'll adjourn.
No, this was.
And I'll, anyone want to make a motion to adjourn?
Dean Morgan, so moved.
Thank you. Second.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. And thank you for your presentation.
Yeah, thank you all. Have a good night.
Bye.
Thank you.